The rest of you that are not taking your kids or that are still in the seats or even watching, you ought to get you a Bible. I want everybody to turn to John chapter 4, John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the last John chapter 4. Now, I've been trying to get to this place, y'all, for two or three weeks, and we didn't get there last week. We got there in the very first part of it on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. But I think it's really, really important that we see some things that Jesus was teaching a woman at the well. A very, very familiar passage that most people have probably heard about, how Jesus ministered to this woman at the well. And on the Easter service, we got through about half of it. We got through the understanding of why the Bible says, John chapter 4, that after, this is verse 2, Jesus baptized not but his disciples. So he didn't baptize the multitude of people. He was just baptizing his disciples. He leaves Judah, verse 3, and departed again unto Galilee. He needed to go through Samaria, gets to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph, and that's where the well is, right? Now, I did this study. If you wasn't here on Easter, I'll just catch you up really, really fast. And because you need to understand that when Jesus gets to this well, verse 6 says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus being wearied. And I hopefully you underlined weary. Now, the Amplified simply says it how it is. Jesus tired. And we went through, and I helped you to define tired, because Jesus, as we found out, had walked about 44 miles until he gets to this point. So you wonder why Jesus then is tired. And I mean, there was lots of definitions. The very last one, most of us, I kind of get tickled because that word tired literally means that he was pooped. You give out. But think about that. Have you ever walked in one day 44 miles? No, thank God for my King Ranch. Thank God for a vehicle. Back in the day, thank God for a horse. You know, just to get on. And here they had walked. And he still had about 40 miles to go to get to Galilee. And he's tired, you see. Verse 7, then comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus says unto her, give me a drink. Now think about this. Here she's wanting to get a drink, and then he begins to minister, and you're going to see that there's quite a bit of confusion right here. Because see, last week we began to talk about how we need to be soul winners. We need to be not about our own selfish desires, but yet we need to be thinking about others, right? Because really, that's what a Christian is. He's not supposed to, or her, we're not supposed to be, you know, all about self. I want to win the world championship. I want to make the national finals. I want to, you know, do this or that. No, really, God is desiring for all of us to actually be about others, be about someone else. And if we get that attitude, man, things go a lot easier in our lives. But what happened is then the enemy gets us give out and tired, and we lose concentration, we lose, you know, our desires to stay committed to the kingdom of God. And that's when we give up. go back to the days of unbelief or the days before we gave our life to Jesus. Get so give out, y'all, that, man, the enemy brings all kinds of distraction and we fall for it. We get off the road of the blessing, have to work a whole lot harder trying to get to the promised land. That's when there's a lot of murmuring and bickering and fighting that the enemy brings to try to get us off of the road that God's called us to be on. We get beat up because our marriages are not perfect. We start getting a lot of doubts and fears and unbelief, which is the opposite of faith. We start focusing and getting our minds fixed on all the issues and problems that probably the enemy has brought up, John 10:10. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Of course, that's what the devil wants. He's wanting you to meditate on all the junk. God, on the other hand, is saying, no, don't do that. Meditate on the Word, son, daughter. Don't you meditate on what the enemy has. No, stay hooked on the Word of God. But again, Jesus was give out tired, pooped, that he's having to rest. And here a woman now, he's trying to say, hey, give me a drink. Okay, let's keep reading now. Verse 8. His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now, think about that for a minute. He was so tired, Jesus, that he couldn't even go with the disciples. He said, man, I'm so give out. I am, beat. Y'all go get meat. Now, why would they go get meat? Pretty obvious, right? Because food is what gives you energy again. I'll never forget when I was learning how to steer rope. I had team roped all my life. Most of you know team rope, and you get to stay on your horse. You never get to get off. You rope a steer. On the head and side, you turn the steer, and then a partner, the part of the team, comes in there, attempts to rope 2 feet. And when both of your horses are facing each other and the ropes are tight, heeler has 2 feet, the header has 2 horns, and you've made this run, the time stops. Hopefully, fastest time wins. Well, in steer roping, it was foreign to me because it's an event, as most of you know now, coming here long enough, and then watching it for all these years, is you got to get a steer down on his side. They call it a trip. It started at the ranch as the very first event in rodeo because you have to doctor a cow out in the pasture when you don't have pens. You don't have anywhere for you to push this animal to. Plus, if they're crippled or something's wrong with them, they're not going to go anywhere anyway. So you've got to get them off their feet. A horse has to hold them down while you get off, either tie them up so that you can doctor them or hold them down with enough help. Well, when you're by yourself and you need to get a big old sticker out of a bull or a steer or something, and you don't have any help, then you're going to have to do it by yourself. And really, that's what this event is. And it's a timed event. You rope the steer. You lay the trip where it turns them around, gets them on their side. You get off and you tie 3 feet. One of the front legs, two of the hind legs, or any of the four. You got to tie 3 of them, though. But man, it was difficult. You have to learn how to ride on the side of your horse while he's moving fast. And you have 1 foot in the stirrup and you're holding on to the saddle horn because you have to get off and run the opposite direction of your horse. And it was just a difficult time. Now, when I learned, it was in the middle of August, 104 degrees. Oh, man. So Scott Snedeker, my coach of the steer roping, man, he had worked me. We, learned how to tie three legs with the right hand and the left hand. Because depending on which way the steer is laying, if they're laying with on a right-handed tie, not a problem, because most of us are right-handed. We're very coordinated. But the left hand takes a lot of practice to get coordinated tying with this hand. And so we worked and worked that first day. At the end of the day, I was give out. Matter of fact, I somehow got to my truck and I could not raise my head up. And I managed to grab the phone and I called Jamie, my wife, and I said, "Mama, you're going to have to come get me. I can't move." She laughed just kind of like that. She did. She belly laughed. I said, "No, you don't understand. I can't move. I mean, I've never been this tired." I turned on the air conditioner because remember, it's 104. And I mean, we were give out learning a brand new event. And I managed to get to Kerrville, Texas, and I got some food in me. And that's what did it. As soon as I ate, all the energy came back, and I was able to go the next day. I called my wife, and I said, "Hey, smarty, you don't have to come get me. I'm okay. I think I can make it the next day." Well, see, that's what food does, right? And here, the disciples had went to go get some meat because they knew that food then would give them enough energy to get to Galilee. Now, there's so many ways that I can go right here. You know, just the tiredness of a lot of people today stops them from getting to the promised land. And here God's trying to say, you know, through the disciples, by the way, you know, "Let's go get some meat because I know our Savior is tired." But that's not where Jesus went, right? Check where he went. After verse 7, when Jesus said to her, "Give me drink," disciples had gone away to buy meat. The woman says, which she was a woman of Samaria, says unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, has drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" Why would you ask me, a woman? We're not even supposed to be talking, a Samaritan and a Jewish person. "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Verse 10. "And Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knowest the gift of God, if you just," here's what he was saying, "if you just had understanding." The Amplified says, he answered her, "If you had only known and had recognized God's gift and who this is that is now saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." See, she had no idea, y'all, who she was actually talking to. But yet, that's kind of all of us sometimes. We don't really know the true power of the one that lives on the inside of us, even as a born-again believer of Jesus. Sometimes we don't really know that we can speak to the mountain and have the authority to say, "Mountain, get thee behind me." Remember, the Bible says when you speak to the mountain, command the mountain to be cast into the sea. Just don't doubt in your heart. Believe the things which you say is going to come to pass and you'll have whatsoever you say. You see, there's something about finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. But what happens is the enemy, remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, tries to convince you that you're not worthy. You did too many wrong things back in your past. You need to read the scriptures more. You need to study the Bible more. You need to pray a whole lot more. You need to do this or do that, and then maybe you're worthy. Well, none of us really usually can do any of that. Why? Well, usually it's because we're tired. We've gone through life and we've seen a lot of defeat. We turn on the news or the radio, and man, it's negative when we just listen to these things. Well, my advice is don't turn on the TV or the radio. If not, you better be really mature. And the only reason I still listen to it is because I just want to see the signs of the times, but I'm mature. But there's times when I've got to say, ooh, man, turn that junk off, you see. Okay, let's go on. Verse 11, she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water? Thank God at least she's asking some questions, right? Verse 12, are you greater than the superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also? And Jesus said to her, all who drink of this water will thirst again. You see, he was trying to teach us all a major, major lesson about spiritual food and water versus natural food and water. Because even though natural food, meat and drink that we have morning, noon, and night will give you a lot of energy, it is nothing compared to what Jesus has. That's the greatest testament of what we're trying to do this morning, is get us off of the milk, get us off of the old meat, and get us on living word. So that when all hell breaks loose in your life and a doctor tells you you only have a certain amount of time to live because of sickness and disease and cancers, or if you're going through some kind of trial or tribulation that is causing stress to come to you, all you've got to do is tap into the true living water. All you've got to do is get the true spiritual food and know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you so that you can be the overcomer, so that you can be the one that is the head and not the tail. Instead of falling to all the deceits of the enemy that's trying to knock you down in the first place. We don't need just meat and water. We need God's true living water. Because I'm telling you, it's stronger than any meat or water that you might drink. The spiritual food is what we need, praise God. Especially in these days. So, man, he gets excited right here, y'all. Verse 13, he said, all who drink of this water will thirst again, but whoever takes a drink of water that I will give him shall never, say that with me, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto it for eternal life. Well, that's really the basis of everything as a believer. Everything should be eternal. We are to always be thinking about eternal life. Not temporary. I'm just going to try to get through this life so, you know, I can finally get to heaven where there's peace and joy and no suffering. And God's trying to say, wait a minute, you need that right here. You need to think eternally, not just temporarily. One day, sir, I can't wait to meet you so I'm not feeling bad anymore and I'm not hurting anymore. And God's trying to say, no, what you actually need is to get a hold of my living water so you can live here on earth like in heaven. Say amen to this, y'all. Amen. Man, it's time we wake up, because the enemy's trying to keep us tired so that we don't see the results and the blessing of the Lord. We don't see his promises and we just stay tired. Okay, now let's go on, just because there's lots of great lessons right here. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, so that I may never get thirsty, nor have to come continually all the way here to draw. At this, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back here. I think this is hilarious. And the woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said there, now do you think for a minute that Jesus didn't know this? No, he's trying to teach a lesson here. He's saying, she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said to her, you have spoken truly in saying, I have no husband, but you've had actually five husbands. See, he knew everything, but yet he's trying to get her mind on living water and not on a natural thing. He said, no, you've actually had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. In this, you have spoken truly. The woman said to him, this is funny, sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet. Oh, duh. Duh. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it is necessary to prosper or improper to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the time is coming. If you hadn't heard anything, hear this, y'all. This is the base of this message that I only have about 15 minutes left with. Don't miss what I'm fixing to tell you or what the word is saying here. Jesus said the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither merrily in the mountain nor merrily in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. You just don't know it. You worship what you do not comprehend. We do know what you're worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. And let me not go on any further just for a second, because you've got to get a hold of truly understanding the power of what Jesus is to you. Because there's a lot of deceited, let's say it this way, confused people in Christianity that really don't know the power that lives on the inside of them. And God's saying, you know what? If you'll drink and eat of my spirit, Jesus is talking, you will never thirst or be hungry again. I will get you through the hardest times of your life. And he's saying, so take courage. Keep your head up. Don't back away from the true one that lives on the inside of you. Yeah, the time's coming when you're going to need me more than you've ever needed me before. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know that time's now? I mean, we need the true spiritual meat and drink like never before. Because see, that's the only thing that's going to get you through what you're going through possibly right now. I mean, not knowing, you know, the things that are before. Well, really, that's faith. I mean, we're not supposed to sometimes know the things before. We're just supposed to keep our eyes on the things before. What does that devil do, though? He makes us think of the things behind, our past, how hard it is to serve the Lord, you know. And the devil tries to convince us that this is a really consuming lifestyle. Well, it is, but it's a better lifestyle. Serving God is just the best way to be. He wants us to for Him to be number one. That's why Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then things will get added unto you if you just seek God first. I mean, He wants you to have goals and dreams. He wants you to have successful marriages. He wants you to live in the blessing and abundance of God. You know, the abundance above all, above. Supernaturally, He wants you to have the greatest in this life. He just needs to be number one. And then He'll just start adding things to you, give you more revelation knowledge so that you know where God needs you. You'll just walk into it. When the enemy attacks, not going to bother you. You're just going to say, well, greater is He that's in me than he that's in all the world. Oh, yes, I'm more than a conqueror, devil, because God loves me. I can. Say that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Say it again. I can. I can do it. I can do all things. I'm not getting all messed up and give up. No, my God is greater. All we're doing here, though, is learning from this woman that really was confused of who she really was. And Jesus is saying, come on, you don't really need that water. You need what I got. I mean, that's what he's saying. You need what I got. Well, you're going to tap into it because you're mature. You know. I mean, you're smart, right? You can say yes. But what has the devil been telling you? Okay, it's over. All these issues, right? Well, we've been standing against that, though. Mm-hmm. Even with the heart. Okay? Well, okay, what is the devil trying to do to you? Get you tired, worn down, thinking all this junk. Then it tires out the family. But yet then the family, though, needs the living water so that we can build you up. I mean, that's why they call me. It would be pretty bad if you called your pastor and I said, I guess it's over for you, brother. Thank God you're going to heaven.
Thanks for not saying that.
And I didn't say that. No. I'd get in trouble with the one that has the living water. No. What my job is a pastor to say, no, don't you dare give up. And it doesn't matter how spiritual someone is. I know the greatest men and women of God that's pastored the largest churches need someone to speak the Word of God. So, yeah, I gave him all these booklets, God's Creative Power for Healing. And all they are just full of confessions, God's medicine, the Word of God. Well, see, that's what the woman of the well story is all about. Is getting the Word of God on the inside of you so much that no matter what, no matter the terrible things you're going through right now, it's not going to prevail if you'll stay hooked on the true living water.
That's right.
I mean, and not give up. I mean, stay hooked on God's Word, no matter what.
Amen.
And you stay hooked, you'll show your teeth a lot more. I always reminded of that man. That man, he always sat right over there, or right on this side, somewhere in this area. And I would say, come on, be happy, show your teeth. And he would pull them out. And I'll never forget that guy. He was a Jew. Man, he was from Israel. And he would... It would embarrass anybody else, but he would pull them out and show them. I said, put them back in, boy. You need to see that stuff. Man, see, there's some great, great, great lessons. I'm right here, and I think we're done, but we've got to get on the true meat of God's Word, the spiritual food. Now, I'm not telling anybody in here not to eat natural food. Amen? I went to... where was it? Oh, we was getting some... Me and Jamie was watching London, our daughter, run barrels and rope at the last college rodeo in Stephenville this weekend, Tarleton State. I don't know, because she'd really never said anything. But I ordered the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, but not the meal. I said, no potatoes. Now, you got to understand, if you know me, I order fajitas with a side of French fries. Don't I? Well, I refuse to be a fat preacher. I mean, there. Now, I grew up with a lot of them. And we, I mean, we had a lot of meals. I think for some reason, church just identifies with a lot of food. But really what Jesus is trying to teach us here is there might be a time, if you want to get flatter, to not have potatoes. Fried. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to get religious about this and stop all French fries in Jesus' name. But really, honestly, how many of you know it's better to eat better food? My wife goes, good job. Because it's the truth. But what's better for you? Spiritual food. Amen? So let's make a pact, y'all, that we're going to get a lot of spiritual food on the inside of us. Okay? If you'll do that, you're going to have to have a little bit more dedication. Instead of having a rope in your hand, the majority of the time, start trading it out with the Word of God. I mean, I know some of the best world champions, Clay O'Brien Cooper, Jake Barnes, Alan Bach, Trey Johnson's not a world champ, but he's one of the better ropers in the country. They'll rope a pen of steers, and then they'll get their Bible out and say, look at there. Jeremiah says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then they would pick up a rope, and they'd go in there, and they would rope the dummy, or they'd work on what they're trying to do, roping wise, and then they'd go back. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, which is freedom. But we all, with an open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then they shut their books. I've done this. That's why we have those books that you have. I'll grab that book and I'll my little confession book, and it has the Word of God in it. And I'll say, okay, I'm the head, not the tail. Oh, yeah, I'm above, but not beneath. No sickness and disease shall come near my body. And then we'll pick up the rope, and there'll be all we are is we're practicing the foundations of our event. Well, that's what we're supposed to do as believers in Jesus Christ. Have this book in front of us a whole lot more. And if you'll be like this, here's where I'll close. If you'll be more into the spiritual food, you'll live in divine health. Amen. You'll live in divine blessing of God. Not in and out. In and out. No, you'll be one of those that's healthy all the time. I like Kenneth Copeland. He believes, and I just add my agreement to him. He believes that he's going to live to 120 years old, and he's 87 now. And I mean kicking faster than a lot of 50 and 40-year-olds. Why? Well, because he's constantly in spiritual food. And he has got a hold of the Word of God where he's not agreeing with the mentality that most Christians have as, well, you know, you're going to die sick because that's just, you know, the natural part of humans. As we live in a fallen world because of Adam and Eve, and so, you know, sickness and disease, it's just probably how you're going to go. Well, so then what do we do? We go, well, I just pray in Jesus' name that when it's my time, I don't suffer. And all we've done then is added our agreement to, well, it's just part of life that, you know, we're going to die sick. That's not how believers are supposed to believe. And we surely shouldn't be confessing it out of the mouth. Remember, the confession is very, very important. Okay? So if you're in this state of, why am I in this area? Why am I in a chair? Why am I, why do I have these issues? Start changing the way you talk. And I'll show you someone that'll get out of those in Jesus' name. I'll show you the testimonies of people getting out of wheelchairs and getting healthy even at an older age. Why? Well, because you're getting spiritual food. And you're saying, you know what? I'm no longer going to die of sickness and disease because the Word of God, the spiritual food, says that no sickness and you'll get that attitude. Did you hear me? How my voice changed? Because that's how you're supposed to be when you talk to the devil. The spiritual food says no disease. And that you're talking to the devil. And I mean, I'm just exampling right now. The spiritual food says, devil, that no sickness and disease shall come near my body. Amen. Don't say amen just in I guess that's right. No, you say amen with some authority. Amen. 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 I mean, with a little attitude, right, girl? What'd you say to me? What? I mean, think about it. You women have that. Your kids mess up, and you get that look, right? You get it with your friends too. You, for some reason, you change when this spirit comes on you. And you get, you right? And I mean, I don't know what it is. You got to convince yourself probably that. What'd you say to me, Ricky?
Nothing, dear.
Yeah. That's finding out who you are in Christ and using the spiritual food of saying, devil, the Bible says that I have power over life and death in my tongue. And I'm not going to die of sickness. I'm not going to die hurting. I'm going to die healthy. Come on, y'all. What, y'all are making me fire y'all up. No. That's the spiritual food that Jesus is trying to teach this woman. You know, you don't need that meat. If you keep reading, remember the disciples come back. This is my third closing. All preachers have three. The disciples come back, and I've got 6 minutes and 15 seconds, or 45 seconds. And they go, did someone feed Jesus some food? Remember, you should read that already. They go, who gave you food, Jesus? And he had to then teach them. Wait a minute, they're the disciples. It's kind of like when they was in that storm. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. Remember? They wake him up, Jesus, you're sleeping. And here we're dying, sir. We're perishing by waves, hurricane proportion winds. And remember what Jesus says? Oh, ye of little faith. I'm tired. I'm trying to sleep, boys. You've been with me a long time. You've seen the dead raised. You've seen the blind eyes be opened up. You've seen the miraculous healing. Oh, ye of little faith. Okay, I'll do it. Peace, be still. That's what really we should be doing. We don't have to have Jesus say, peace be still anymore. We get to do it. We have been given the authority to use his name. Okay? So, from now on, let's start changing the way that we talk. If we'll start talking what God talks, I'm the head, not the tail. Oh, you're going to be tempted over and over and over and over to talk junk, to talk doubt, to talk fear. But why? Well, because the world says it over and over in our ears. But you've got to get mature enough to say, nope, I don't accept that. They tried to say I had Crohn's and I was going to die from it. But remember, I said, I never once said, change the way you talk, y'all. I never said my Crohn's, my this, my that, my diabetes, my sickness, my... No. You're just taking ownership of it. Jesus says, no. Cast it on me. See, that's spiritual food. I said to the doctor, y'all, when they took out 16 inches of intestine and said I had a disease called Crohn's, I said, no, thank you. What'd you say? Son, you've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. You have to take medicine for the rest of your life. And I said, nope, I don't receive that. And they might have thought I was crazy trying to wake up from anesthesia. He come into my room one time, remember? And he said, I don't know if you understood, you have a disease called Crohn's. Mom and Dad's with me by this time. And it's not curable. My wife was my girlfriend then. She's the one that took me from, she lived on one side of Lubbock. I lived on the other side. And she had to come get me and take me to the hospital for this to happen. They're all with me at this time, my mom and dad. And he said, you have a disease. It's not curable, but we can manage it with medicine for the rest of your life. And I said, I had tubes in my mouth by then. And I said, mm-mm. And he never came back to my room, y'all. Not one more time. I got out of the hospital. I never went for... You do what God tells you to do, but I just decided to live on the bread of life, the living water and food. And I never went to the checkups. I said, no, I've never taken a pill, and it's been 25 years. Amen. Why? I believe this word. It's spiritual food. And I'm not going to be, I'm not going to let a doctor be the final report in my life. I'm going to let the Word of God do that. Amen? All right. All right. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, Jesus. It's time we get mature, sir. But Father, I realize that there could be people watching or here that have never met you as Lord. They don't know if they die, if they'd go to heaven or hell. Well, I'm saying right now, in Jesus' name, to begin to draw their hearts to you. You said that, sir, that you're the one that draws all men unto you. I only can just set the word of God before them, but sir, you're the one that draws their heart to you. So if there's anyone in here that has never met you and made you Lord, they've never confessed you, they don't know if they'd go to heaven or hell when they die, I ask you to draw their heart to you and cause them to want to be saved. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you are at the sound of my voice. You're watching from somewhere, you're listening from somewhere, or you're right here in the audience of the church. And you've never truly made Jesus. Not a church, not some preacher, not a denomination. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm just going to ask you to do that right now. I can't make you, remember. You have your own will. You're going to have to choose this. I'm just going to ask you to give your heart to Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. Here's what it says. If you'll confess with your mouth, that means out loud, the Lord Jesus. We're going to confess Him as Lord. We're going to ask Him to come into our heart and save us. And then we're going to believe what we're praying, that God raised Jesus from the dead. We're going to believe it. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus and believe it, that He was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. So we're all going to pray this prayer right now. If you're here this morning and you've never truly given your heart to Jesus, the Son of God, then pray this prayer and mean it. We're all going to pray it with you, though. Right, believers? Let's pray it all together. If you're watching again, pray this prayer. Ask Jesus to come into your life or start being a soul winner, leading others to Jesus wherever you're at. But let's pray it just like that. Again, if you're here this morning and you just have never really given your heart to Jesus, you don't know truly if you'd go to heaven or hell. You won't go to hell. You won't go to heaven without Jesus. He's the only way, John says, to the Father in heaven. Matter of fact, he says it like this: I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes unto me, unto the Father, but through me, or by me, Jesus. So if you've never given your heart to Jesus, pray this prayer. And all of us believers, we're going to pray it with you out loud right now in Jesus' name. Let's say it just like this, y'all. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead, and I'm saved. Come into heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm here on this earth, living today, I'm going to serve you because I want heaven here. I want the joy here. I want peace here. I want the blessing here. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you raise your head and open your eyes, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to just be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my heart to you today. I'll serve you. And just acknowledge it, in other words, by raising your hand up and then putting it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you, by the way. I don't even have you come to the front like I did when I gave my heart to Jesus. Otis Baptist Church, right outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico. No, right where you're at, you can do just the same. Get that hand up, though, and acknowledge that you gave your heart to Jesus and you meant it. When I say three, one, two, three. Ready? With boldness. If that was you, get that hand up. One, two, three. Go. Praise the Lord. All right, look at me, y'all. No one gave their heart to Jesus. But again, that's why God is having me preach about soul winning. Because we have to have, not about just being selfish, us getting fed. We got to get that food out there and get people born again. Especially before the end comes. Amen? So keep being soul winners. Keep loving on Jesus. If y'all need anything, y'all know that I stay here. And I'll greet you. I'll pray for you. Whatever you need, let's do it unto the Lord. Amen? Love y'all very, very much.